Hello, Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Progress in Your World. Today I will focus on critical thinking. When people hear the words critical thinking, the automatic thought is judgment. Critical thinking is a mode of self-improvement. It is about any subject, content, or problem in which the thinker improves the quality of his or her thinking by skillfully analyzing, assessing, and reconstructing. By doing so, thinking will become disciplined, clear, rational, open-minded, and informed by evidence rather than accepting your own personal reasoning as sufficient proof. These are some of the benefits for critical thinking. You will gain independence, become a higher achiever, gain emotional appeal, and be able to work as a team at work with empathy. I will be interviewing Davis on critical thinking. Walter has had a long career in the Navy as a navigator and in the behavioral health. He's been a behavioral health specialist. He is an activist and a producer of several radio and TV shows. He has focused on human rights, social justice, and environment. He uses and teaches internet TV and radio production, social media, cable, satellite TV to project the message worldwide. For the past 10 years, he has trained 400 people in the media production. His current show is Progress in the World. Walter will provide information and common mistakes regarding issues such as critical thinking and the issues surrounding the critical thinking, defining common mistakes, the relationships between communication skills, self-esteem, motivation, curiosity, and many other things that critical thinking will bring. Critical thinking is essential to effective learning and productive living. Walter, would you please share your definition of critical thinking?
Well, critical thinking is basically taking an overall view of a situation and having an appreciation of the fact that your thinking could be wrong, and also that our environment is constantly changing. So it has to do with being self-reflective while keeping an eye on the external environment and validating people's opinions, even though they may differ from yours.
No, I'm really surprised that the schools don't teach this information. Most teachers were not taught how to assess thinking through standards. Often the thinking of teachers themselves is very undisciplined and reflects a lack of internalized intellectual standards. Many teachers accept an amusing essay as a good thinking, even though a student may just be asserting things with vivacity and flamboyance, but they don't have any evidence to reason anything of whatever they wrote in the paper. Teachers are apt to take this to be equivalent to a good paper. This was made clear in a recent California statewide writing assessment in which the teachers and the testers applauded a student's essay, which they said illustrated exceptional achievement. In reason evaluation, an essay that contained no reasoning at all. No reasoning, no evidence of what the student had wrote on that paper. The assessing teachers and testers did not notice that the student failed to respond to the directions, did not support his judgment with reasons and evidence, did not consider possible criteria on which to base his judgment, did not analyze the subject of the light of the criteria, and did not select the evidence that clearly supported the judgment of the student. So I feel sad that the public schools do not teach this information. So all these young people, including us, have never been taught this. So how can we expect a lot of us to go out there, students and children, and deal with the world in a skillful way? They cannot think.
Well, the bottom line is that we are teaching our children what to think and not how to think. I didn't learn about critical thinking until I got into college. And that's really sad. And that's why we have so many people that are fixed in their ways of thinking. So we have fixed belief patterns. For example, we have scientific beliefs. Now, just imagine if scientists were as rigid as people that believe in religion in terms of their thought process. We wouldn't have evolved into having cars and spacecraft, because there's been scientists that were wrong. And once proven wrong, it's a good thing, because the right answer emerges. But you have people, especially in the religious community, who are just fixed in their way of thinking. They're not willing to look at any other options, and thus that inflexibility is a fallacy. And that's one of the problems, is that people are taught what to think and not how to think.
You know, there are many areas of concern in instruction, not just one, not just critical thinking, but communication skills, problem solving, creative thinking, collaborative learning, self-esteem, and so forth. How can we deal with this? We're full of needs. All of these need to be taken care of, and no one's doing anything about it.
Well, I don't know if saying no one is doing anything about it is accurate. There are people doing things about it. It's just not in the mainstream. So we don't see a mainstream effort to teach people about emotional communication. There doesn't appear to be a real sense of urgency or recognition of the need for that. And so people don't normally say how they feel. They tell you what they think all the time. And so as a result, people don't know how they feel. People spend so much time trying to cover their feelings up, so they don't understand how they feel. You ask people how they feel, they say what they think. Whereas they may be feeling embarrassment, they may be feeling shame, they may be feeling guilt. But people don't know how to say that. They don't know the difference between shame and guilt. And there's a profound difference. Shame being a state of being, guilt being an action, where you did something or didn't do something you were supposed to. And shame is, I am wrong. What is wrong with me?
There's a lot of adults that think that way, and myself included. I did not know till I learned what a critical thinking was. At the beginning, I thought critical. I'm not going to think critical about anybody. I can't judge anybody. I don't want to. And instead, it was totally different. It affects the way you express yourself. It affects the way you feel, and it helps you in relationships. Between your children, parents, husband, wife, it has to deal with emotions and how to express them. Could you tell me a little bit about that, Walter?
Well, again, we have to differentiate between thoughts and emotions. Emotions have to do with feeling embarrassment, feeling shame, disappointment. I'm sorry, I have a terrible cold, and anger, and then how to manage that. So in other words, if someone is angry, anger never comes by itself. It comes with some other emotion. It comes with embarrassment. It comes with jealousy. It comes with something else. And so people need to learn to talk about those other things. In other words, talk about jealousy. Talk about disappointment. And so we are taught in a lot of our religious institutions, judge not, lest ye be judged. So people are condemned when they use judgment, when in fact that's what we all need to be doing. We do need to be using judgment. Think about it. It's totally illogical that we're going to go through life without applying judgment. So this is how people are dumbed down, and they're taught how not to think. And so in critical thinking, we're teaching people how to think.
There's a form here that helps, that has helped me. Could you give me information, an example, known self, not known self? What is that diagram all about? It's a diagram.
You're referring to the Johari window, J-O-H-A-R-I,
that's
window.
Right.
And so there are four different window panes. The top left is the open or public area. Those are things you know about yourself and that other people know. And then there is the blind area, the top right pane, which those are things you cannot see about yourself, but other people can see. And then below that, the bottom right would be the unknown area. Those are things you don't know about yourself and that nobody else knows either. So, for example, the first time that you fell down as a child and hurt yourself, well, maybe that memory is not clear in your mind. It's in your subconsciousness. But it's in your mind clear as a bell. But you just can't retrieve that memory. The brain protects us from terrible experiences. And so we just don't remember them. So they're in our subconscious. But they can have dramatic impacts on how we relate to others in the future. So if someone pushed you down, for example, and you see that someone that looks like that person again later in life, you may generate negative feelings about that person and not even know why. Then we have the secret or hidden area, the bottom left pane, and that is those are things you know about yourself that nobody else knows.
You know, I had forgotten the window, and this is a very important thing to do. It helped me a lot. And what you do is you make a square, and in the middle of the square, make four windows. One that says open. The right top will say blind. The bottom left will say hidden. And the unknown. You write things there. And as you write them, it clicks in your mind. And it helps you visualize things that you need to do. And that is part of your own critical thinking. Critical thinking is analyzing and figuring out, trying to figure out who you are, what you need to do, what do you want to do, especially the unknown.
Well, let's go back to the Johari window to be clear. What you do is draw a box and then put a big plus sign in the middle. I'm sorry. Dividing the box into four squares. And in the top left, you put open or public. In the top right, you put blind. In the bottom right, you put unknown. And in the bottom left corner, you put hidden. And so the reality is the more feelings we put into the open or public area, the healthier our relationships are. So if your hidden, unknown, or blind areas are larger than your public area, then you're going to be in a dysfunctional relationship. So it takes a lot of courage to put your feelings out because people can reject you. They can say, I don't care that you feel ashamed. I don't care that you feel angry. I don't care that you feel disappointed. But it doesn't matter what other people think. What matters is that you're able to express yourself and get the feelings off of your chest, and that's what works for people in terms of having functional relationships where we talk, trust, and feel.
Now, when you say that this is all have to do with critical communication skills. Now, if you do that, that means that the other person needs to also understand what you're doing. Am I correct? And you can be doing this and no one will understand what you're going through and what you're saying because they're still working and communicating. And this is where another question comes in, a fallacy. Fallacy is incorrect argument, resulting in lack of validity, generally lack of soundness. Now, this would happen if someone is not listening to you, is not understanding you. So give me a little bit about fallacies, because this might be able to help people understand also the critical thinking.
Well, let me go back then to what you just said about sharing the feelings and those kinds of things and other people not participating. Oh, I'm so sorry. It doesn't really matter if the other person is not participating with you in critical thinking in a lot of areas. For example, if I'm driving on the freeway and I go into a grocery store and somebody says to me, "How do you feel today? How are you doing?" I might say I'm frustrated because I was in heavy traffic. Or it doesn't matter whether that person is going to intellectualize with me, they're going to participate, or they're going to honor my feelings, whatever. In most cases, people are not going to participate. They're not going to be able to understand your feelings. I tell people all the time, I feel optimistic. They don't know how to handle that. When they say, how do you feel today? I'm optimistic. You ought to see people, the way they look at me, like, what? I never heard anyone say that before. So it's important if you're going to have a functional relationship, let's say with your kids or your husband or your wife. Yes, well, then they should be your intimate relationships. They should be able to participate with you in terms of having non-binary communication tenets and being able to relate to you on an emotional level. This is what people get taught when they go to treatment. They get taught how to communicate on an emotional level. And that's why what you just said is very important about fallacies. So people don't understand that there are many different techniques that are deployed in arguments. When you have an argument, that's not like a violent confrontation. That means that you present your side, then I present my side, so to speak. So there's a fallacy. Fallacies are incorrect methodologies of applying judgment. So, for example, one of the fallacies is argument from ignorance. So that means that science cannot explain it, so God did it. That is an argument from ignorance technique. So in other words, ancient people could not explain why the sun rose in the morning and then went down at night. So they believed that the earth was the center and that the sun was revolving around the earth. But of course, when scientists discovered the opposite, they were threatened with death by the church. So people made up stories. You had various religions and various people who just made up their own little story to explain why the sun came up. And so people are still believing some of these things to this day. They're still holding on to some of these ancient mythical things. And so they're presenting what's called an argument from ignorance. And ignorance is when you just don't know. Stupid is when you know and do it anyway. Ignorant is just not knowing, period.
Okay, so what you're saying is that a fallacy is an argument, and someone's giving you a reason because they're assuming that is what their reason is, the correct one. Am I correct? Without having to have any type of evidence to the solution or the answer they gave you.
Well, a fallacy is an element within an argument. In other words, it's the way that people make their decisions. So they're making an error in terms of how they're coming to a particular judgment. So, for example, if someone says, it's just human nature, people are going to be greedy, people are going to rape, people are going to kill, people are going to murder, it's just the way that it is. That's not true. So that's an argument from ignorance. There's also the free will argument, you know, that people are just going to use their own free will. They're never going to conform, and they're never going to be civilized, or we're always going to have greed. Those are arguments from ignorance. And so they're ignorant of other solutions and other thought processes.
Those are very negative arguments.
Well, basically what it means is that sometimes people put the burden of proof on you. So in other words, what can be asserted without proof can be evidence, and it can be dismissed without evidence just as well. So if someone comes to you without evidence about something, you don't have to participate in that. You can simply dismiss their argument because they don't have any evidence to support that. People just have their own personal viewpoint. And we're going to see a lot of this during the election. So for example, one of the fallacies is ad hominem. You basically attack the character of the person. So you might have someone talking about providing universal health care to everybody on the planet, everybody in the country, yet you have someone attack them for their character. Oh, well, you know, you did something 10 years ago, blah, 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 blah. So you attack the character. So we see this happen all the time in political elections. And then we have the argument from authority, which is basically a plea to ignorance. That's when people say, well, I got blah, blah, blah minister or blah, blah, blah professor who supports my point of view. Well, that's the way everybody does it. Or we've always done it. Well, they started doing that with the Roman Empire. So that is an argument from authority, which is a plea to your ignorance.
So by learning how to think critically, you will avoid all these fallacies, be able to communicate better?
Well, you learn to think better and make better decisions. So, for example, if you look at straw man is another fallacy. So when we look at that, right, we're talking about associating something that is similar. It's like, for example, the Zeitgeist movement. We're talking about a higher level of humanity where we have more respect for people. And we are talking about an evolution to where we take profit out of the equation. So in other words, why should it be that people should have to pay for treatment or pay for legal services? Everybody should be entitled to get legal support without depending upon how much money they have. So when you say this kind of thing, people will equate that to communism or socialism. So that's part of the straw man argument or the straw man fallacy, where you basically associate something based upon similarities in the argument.
That is interesting. Now, thinking critically, critical thinking, that's more for the 21st century. We never heard that before. And again, yes, you have learned it if you were to have gone to school for psychology classes or taken anything like that. But the regular brain person doesn't know about this, so they're not able to communicate. Now, I hear a lot of people getting into this. They're going to be able to communicate a lot better, and therefore their self-esteem is going to go higher.
Well, we'll have less conflict, and we'll have greater understanding of human behavior and greater understanding and management of our relationships. So the objective for me is to manage my relationships, not to control them. And that's a huge paradigm shift. So I want to talk a little bit more about different fallacies before we run out of time. Another one is called false causes, non sequitur. That's basically equating something like this. You are anti-God, and being anti-God is anti-American, and being anti-American is treasonous, and traitors lead to civil war. So that's a train of thought that describes non sequitur or false cause fallacy, because that may not be true. Someone can be an atheist and be very American for that matter. Then you get slippery slope. That's basically one thing leads to another, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, step one, step two, step three. And once one of those steps is incorrect, everything else after that is wrong. So we have to be aware of the slippery slope fallacy. So the loaded question fallacy has to do with a question like this. Why do you hate freedom? So they've said that about people in the Middle East. They hate our freedom. That's why they want to attack us. Well, that may not be true. They don't know about the things that happened in World War I, where people like Sir William Sykes, Mark Sykes, carved up the Middle East without any respect to the tribal authority or the families or anything else. So that's really the genesis for why we have so much hatred toward America and the Middle East. Yet people will say things like, why do they hate our freedoms? And it's not even about that. We don't even have freedom when you really think about it, because right. we have an oligarchy where the businesses are really the ones that control our government. And then we have things like the ambiguity fallacy, such as what will happen to spirituality? What will happen to efficiency? What will, you know, what will happen to development and things like that if we have a society without money in it? So, again, that is an ambiguity fallacy. So people will come up with questions like that to dilute whatever your message is.
Now, you said the people will have information, those types of questions to dilute everything. But if we're thinking, if we're doing the critical thinking, they will not be able to do that.
Well, people will still be able to do it, but what I'm saying is that you will be able to recognize what the strategy is and then get back on track in terms of what your message is and not get caught up into their fallacy, into their poor judgment. You know, if I have a child that is going to argue with me about the wisdom of sticking their finger in the electric socket, I'm not going to continue to stand there and have that argument with the child, you see. So if people are ignorant about things, it doesn't pay you to continue to go down that rabbit hole with them sometimes, and they continue to have those arguments. You can identify what they're trying to do, the slippery slope, ad hoc hominem, and you can call them out mm-hmm. on their illogical thinking, and then you can move on.
I understand fully. So we have only 2 minutes left. Walter, I want to thank you. I know you've been sick and you came to this show. Thank you so much. I hope you feel better. And this was we have focused on critical thinking. Thank you so much for listening. This is Nilsa. This is Nilsa Higgins, and I will be signing off. I will be back with the next show. Thank you so much.